through the labor and through the effort of these faithful men. And now Paul and his partners want to continue. They have finished that first journey, and now they're planning on the second. And so they begin to move west through Asia Minor. And there are many nations and there are many peoples who have not heard. And no doubt, Paul and his companions have a plan in mind. I think it would be foolish not to have a plan in mind. And they do. They want to take the gospel. They want to share the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But now God will show them, and God will show us very plainly, that God's ways are not our ways. How do we see that in our passage? First of all, I would have you see that God will take us where we don't want to go. Let's begin with verse 6. God will take us where we don't want to go. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, we've put a map on the screen so that you can picture in your own mind some of these places, and that's probably easier than turning to the map page in your Bible. And yet, this will give you an idea of these place names and the journey that Paul and his companions were making at this time in their life and ministry. So they've left the churches in Galatia, and it just made sense that they would continue to travel west into other areas and other regions of Asia Minor. You see, folks, there were important cities, there were important provinces in that area, and they were full of people, and all of those people needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were great cities there. There was Philadelphia, and there was Sardis, and there was Thyatira, and there was Pergamum, and there was Ephesus, and there were other cities. And at this point in history, these people had not heard the gospel. The gospel had not been taken to them. And yet in the future, when they hear the gospel, people will be saved and churches will be started. And these cities and the churches in these cities will become well known, and they will become strongholds of Christianity. But not at this point. It's only beginning. At this point, they'd never heard the gospel. And so there was much to do for these men in this region called Asia. And so it was a good plan. They're moving west, and there are people, there are places that need the gospel. And so they're moving west, and they're starting this second journey with the gospel. But look with me at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Do you see that? In other words, God said no. God would not let them share the gospel at this time in these regions and in these cities. And I'm sure that this was not easy for Paul and Silas and Timothy. They wanted to share the gospel. They had a plan in mind. It was a good plan. It was a reasonable plan. But God said what? No. No. Not now. Not now. And so they continued west, and they traveled through that region, and they came to Mysia. And Mysia is in the far west of that region of Asia, and you can see it on the map. And when they arrived in Mysia, a decision had to be made. What direction now? God would not allow us to go into those southern regions of Asia Minor, and now we're here, and we're moving, we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now where shall we go? And so perhaps they looked at a map themselves, or they considered the area, and they said, we'll go north. We'll go into Bithynia. because there are cities there and there are people there and they need the gospel. And so we will go into Bithynia. But look at verse 7. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. In other words, God stopped them again. God stopped them again. God said no to Bithynia. Now, perhaps many of us at that point and at that time would have stopped right there and thrown up our hands and we would have said, I give up. I give up. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I mean, God, we're trying to do this and we're trying to do that, and you're saying, no, you don't want us to at this time. I don't know what to do. Perhaps a couple of comments are in order here. Folks, more than any other word from God or man, the word no will test the very core of your character. When God says no, it will test your character. When authorities that God places over you say no, it will test the very core of your character. How do you respond when God says no? How do you respond when someone who has authority over you says no to you? You see, God will often test our faithfulness and our commitment and our devotion and our persistence by saying no. More than any other word, the word no will either bring out humility in our lives or it will bring out rebellion in our lives. And God said to them, no. No. Now, Paul and his companions are submitted to God. They respond in a humble way. They did not go into these regions that God forbid. But they didn't stop moving because they had the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the Gentiles. They don't know where they're going. And so they just continue to move and they continue to work and serve. They would be faithful to the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave them. And folks, this is important because their faithfulness is tested and it's proven. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now it's about a 400-mile journey from Galatia to Troas. See, Troas is on the coast of the Aegean Sea, and you can see that on the map. But it's like a crossroads. It's a small place. It's not a large city, but it was an important city in that area. It was in a well-known region. Troas was only about 10 miles from the city of Troy. It was very Greek in nature. From this region came people such as Helen of Troy, or the great heroes of the Trojan War, or Homer, or Hippocrates. Others were from this region of the world. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Folks, because they were obedient, and because they were humble, and because they were learning the very clear lesson that God is in charge and they need His grace, God now gives them direction and God gives them some guidance. And in a vision, a man of Macedonia stands before them in this vision and pleads with them, come, come and help us. You see, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had a time. God had a schedule. Now, this had not worked out the way that Paul had planned, because we get glimpses of where he wanted to go and some decisions that he was making, but God stopped that. So this had not worked out the way that Paul had planned. He wanted to go to Asia or into southern Asia Minor. God said no. He wanted to go into the north of Asia Minor, to Bithynia, and God said no. And therefore in Troas, God gave some direction. And notice in verse 10, they immediately sought to go. When they found out where God wanted them, they went. They immediately sought to go. And by the way, it was in Troas that Luke actually joined them as a partner. He joined Paul and Silas and Timothy. And so now Luke is an eyewitness of this work that's going on in God taking the gospel to the world. And Luke would be a dear and close companion of the Apostle Paul for the rest of his ministry. And now they would travel to Macedonia. But folks, here's the point, that God is God, and God by His grace is taking Paul and his companions where God wants them to go. And it may not have made sense, and it may not have been the most efficient. It may not have reached people who were reachable in Asia Minor at this time, but God is in charge. God's ways are not our ways. In God's sight, folks, the getting there is just as important as the arriving. And see, God is glorified when we trust Him and depend upon Him. And we may not see the results, and we may not see things that we picture should happen, and yet if we're trusting God and depending upon God as we move, then God is greatly glorified. You realize God may put you in a place that you don't particularly like. Someone said amen. God may put you in a ministry that you feel inadequate for. God may put you in a location that is far, far from your desire. But the important question is, how will you respond to God? How will you respond to Him? You see, God can take you where you don't want to go. And Paul and Silas and Timothy and now Luke would trust and submit to the plan of God by the grace of God in taking the gospel to the world, and they were doing it God's way. And they would learn that God's ways are not our ways. Let's look at a second example. We see it in verse 11. God will bring us to people that we don't want to meet. Verse 11. And therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now let's try to put ourselves in the place of Paul and his co-workers here. They leave Troas, and they ran a straight course. You can see it on the map. They ran a straight course to Samothrace, also in the ancient world known as Thrace. And the next day they came to Neapolis. Now folks, what that means is that they had a favorable journey because the wind was right and the sailing was smooth, and what normally took 4 to 5 days took only 2 days for these men. Now what that tells us is that when God moves, He moves. And when He wants things to go smooth, they'll go smooth. And when He wants things to go difficult, they'll be difficult. See, what's the lesson? God is in charge. God is in charge. God knows what He's doing. We can trust Him. And so they land in Neapolis, and then no doubt They walked the 10 miles to Philippi. And folks, don't miss this, because this affects every person who sits here today. Don't miss this. They walked the 10 miles, probably walked the 10 miles to Philippi, and the apostles were now on European soil. They were now in Europe. At this point and at this time, God wanted the gospel to go to Europe. Folks, the foundation of the gospel reaching us is found right in this verse. The foundation of the gospel coming to us right here, historically, is found in this verse in Acts chapter 16. Many historians recognize this is one of the most important events in world history. Problem is, you won't read this in a history book. You won't read this in a school history book. But you can read it in this history book. And historians will tell us, those who have wisdom and knowledge will tell us, this is one of the most important events in world history. And what is it? Four Christian men walked into Philippi. Four followers of Jesus Christ walked into the Greek city of Philippi. And folks, I submit to you that your lives were changed because of that. And I submit to you that this land was changed because of that. I would submit to you that the world was changed because four single Christian men walked into a Greek city with the power of the gospel. And the world was changed. God's ways are not our ways. Now, Philippi was not your regular city of Macedonia. Macedonia, you can see it on the map, it was in northern Greece. It was the birthplace of Alexander the Great. The region had a past history that made it very important, but Philippi was a very special city. It was named after Alexander the Great's father, Philip of Macedon. But more important, and Luke actually tells us this in the text, more important, it was a Roman colony. And Luke calls it a foremost city, or a first city. As a Roman colony, Philippi was a lot like Washington, D.C. It was not a part of a state. It was not a part of a province. It was its own little area. It was a federal district, if you will. It was like a little Rome in northern Greece, Philippi. But folks, it was truly a strategic, crucial place for the expansion of the gospel. And so now we're beginning to get this glimpse of God's ways not being our ways, because the apostles were not allowed to go into southern Asia Minor, and they were not allowed to go into northern Asia Minor. Why? Because God wanted them in this place. He wanted them in Europe. He wanted them at this foremost city. He wanted them at this strategic place at this time. God's in charge. God's in charge. His ways are not our ways. Now let's get right to the point. It was Paul's pattern when entering a city to always go to the synagogue and to begin to share the gospel there. And so Paul would enter into a city and he would look for the Jewish synagogue. Because of Paul's background and because of his position, he had a hearing, he had a place he could speak in the synagogue, and he would go there and he would speak to the Jews, and he would tie the Old Testament into the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He would connect the dots, and what would happen? He would share the gospel. They would see it clearly. God would open their hearts. They would believe, and people would be saved. Jewish people would be saved. This was Paul's plan. This is what he did when he went into cities. And it was very effective. On the first missionary journey, he did that in cities, and people were saved, and churches were started, and people were discipled, and great and marvelous things took place by the grace of God through the gospel. But folks, that did not happen in Philippi. It did not happen in Philippi. Look at verse 12. Luke says, and we were staying in that city for some days. We were staying in that city some days. In other words, what's interesting to me is that Luke doesn't say, and we came into the city and we found this synagogue or we found this place and we began to share the gospel. It simply says we were staying some days. It's like we're looking, we're waiting. We're in Philippi, God. You wanted us to come here. We're here. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. Now, what that tells us is this. Folks, there was no synagogue in Philippi, which tells us that the Jewish population was very, very low. As a matter of fact, you had to have 10 adult Jewish males to start a synagogue. You know what that tells us? There are not 10 Jewish men in the city of Philippi. Now, can you imagine Paul's reaction? Whoa, wait a minute. What are we going to do? My plan is to do this. This is what I've always done. God has been very gracious and fruitful through this plan. We find a synagogue. We preach the gospel. The Jews are saved. We share with the Gentiles. A church has started. And now he's in Philippi, and none of that works. None of that is happening. There's no synagogue in Philippi. Jewish population is very small. This threw a wrench into Paul's normal practice. Notice what I said, normal practice. By the way, I hope you see this in this passage. You have to be very careful when you begin to think, you begin to make decisions by open doors and closed doors. All I would say to you this morning is be very, very careful. God will give you direction. He can use circumstances. We have His Word. But be very careful about the open doors and the closed doors, because some open doors lead to elevator shafts. And God can open doors and He can close doors, but be very, very careful about basing your decisions on that. And we can see that in this passage. Because Paul could have said, oh, the door's closed, we're leaving Philippi. There's no synagogue here. This is what I normally do. The door's closed. Goodbye. I'm going back to Bithynia or wherever. But he didn't. So now, Paul, seeing this not as an obstacle, but continuing now to move forward, the custom was that without a synagogue in a city, that the Jewish people would meet outside the city on the Sabbath day. And normally they would meet near a water source because that could be used for spiritual cleansing in the teaching of the Jews. And so it was outside the city and it was near a water source. And so Paul and his companions went to the riverside and they found a prayer meeting. But then there's a further disappointment or a further difference here. It was only women. It was a women's prayer meeting. It's like the apostles come up on a ladies' Bible study or a ladies' prayer meeting. And can't you just imagine and think what Paul's saying? Where is the man of Macedonia? You know, where's the man of Macedonia said, come over here? And now we're right in the middle of a woman's prayer meeting. Now, of course, if they had cookies and milk, that would have been okay. But let's put ourselves in Paul's place. Through a vision, he was called to Macedonia. And no doubt, he expected conversions among the important people of the city because that had happened in the past. He probably expected both Jews and Gentiles to come to Jesus. This had taken place in other cities. But folks, none of this was happening. Now, Paul may have been puzzled, he may have been disappointed, but he was not stopped. And that's important. Again, we see the importance of persistence, faithfulness. There were no men here, but there were women. there were women. And so the Apostle Paul and his co-workers, they speak to the Jewish women. And then God does something completely unexpected. If he hadn't been doing all that along, now something unexpected. Look at verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. You see, one of the women there was not Jewish. And she overheard what Paul was saying to the Jewish women, and her name was Lydia, and she was a God-fearer, and that simply means that she was a Gentile who worshipped God, and she was a businesswoman, and she was over a household, and that probably means that she was a widow, and she sold valuable garments. She was a seller of purple, and that's the royal color, and she was not even from Philippi. She was from Thyatira, and Thyatira was in Asia, the very place that God forbid Paul and the others to go to share the gospel. And so he brings them to the Greek city of Philippi, forbid them to go to those other areas, and brings them now to this Greek city, and there are no men there, and there's no synagogue, and there's these women who were meeting at this river with the prayer meeting, and they begin to share the gospel with these women, with these Jewish women, and in the midst of those Jewish women, there's a Gentile God-fearer who hears what Paul's saying. Take a deep breath now. Look at the last part of verse 14. Oh, what a blessing. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And look at verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized. Do you know what that means, folks? It means that Lydia and her household heard the truth about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified to pay the penalty of our sins, and he was raised from the dead, and that anyone who repents and places their faith or their trust in Jesus Christ alone receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In other words, she received the gospel. In other words, she was saved. And the baptism was the evidence of that faith. Folks, the first convert to Christianity on European soil was a widowed Gentile woman and her household. And from the roots of that conversion would come disciples and churches that would reach the world. And folks, we today at Faith Baptist Church are the extended result of Lydia trusting Jesus Christ. The gospel went to Europe. We are the result of that. Only God could do such a thing. Only God would do it in such a way. Because this was different than what the apostle wanted. This was different than his plan. And so God brought Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke hundreds of miles. He stopped them from going to many places. He communicated a direction to them. He brought them quickly and safely to this important city so that Lydia, of all people, could be saved. God did that. And we step back and we look at these verses and we hear this with our ears and we should be asking ourselves, so what does that mean for me? You see, folks, God will often bring people into our lives that we don't want to meet or we don't plan to meet or we don't design to meet. God will often bring people into our lives that we may not want to get close to or give time to. Do you see what God is doing here? He's working out His plan. And it's with conviction that I stand before you and say this, that we often get stuck in our plan. We often get stuck in the way. This is the way that churches do this. Or this is the way, this is the big one. We've never done it this way before. Or we've always done it this way. Do you see what happens to us? We do God's work in our way. And frankly, would you get to the heart of it, folks? We're rebellious. We're rebellious by nature. Plus, we want to be comfortable and we don't want to walk by faith and we want to trust ourselves, and all those things come from that. But we get stuck on our own plan. And I would say to you this morning that that little boy that you worked with in Vacation Bible School and that little girl that you spend time with in Children's Church and those students that you teach in Sunday school and those hours that you spend with that student from China and those phone calls and those visits and those hours of help to that single mom or that struggling teenager, or that broken father, that these may be the very people that God uses to change a family and change a community and change a whole region by the grace of God. So please this morning understand that God is in charge. And please know this morning that God's ways are not our ways. And please recognize God's plans are not our plans. And our responsibility is to obey and move and submit and go and preach and proclaim. And then God will do what God will do. God will do what He will do. We're not finished with this passage, but we learned this morning that God will take us where we don't want to go, and God will bring us to people we don't want to meet, and all of this is a part of God's plan. And so next week we'll look at a third truth from this passage. But for sure, we can know this morning, that God's in charge and God's ways are not our ways. And our responsibility is to submit to Him. Now, before we bow our heads, I would ask these questions. Are you here this morning and you are not a Christian? Are you here this morning and you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Here's another way to say it. Are you here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ? I would say to you, God has brought you here today. God did that. And yes, you got up, and yes, you may have eaten breakfast, and yes, you walked through the doors, and yes, it was your legs that carried you, but I say to you this morning that God is in charge, and He brought you here. And He brought you here to give you a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the power of God working in the lives of people. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, trust Jesus today. Trust Jesus. Let me share with you something that happened to one of our groups that went out on Vacation Bible School visitation. They went to a house, and the parents were glad to see them as they thanked them for sending their kids to VBS. And I guess the mom was pretty excited. And remember, I'm getting this from someone else. The mom was pretty excited, and the mom shared that the little girl came home one day and said, "Mom, you're a sinner, and you need Jesus." And she said to the dad, "Dad, you're a sinner and you need Jesus." And perhaps she even said, "I'm a sinner and I need Jesus." But if you're here today and you've not placed your faith in Jesus, you are a sinner and you need Jesus. If you're a child of God today, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I pray that God by His Word encourages you today that this is not about us. This is about God. It's about God's plan. It's about God's way. And I would encourage you and I would exhort you today, right now, when we bow our heads, just submit to God. As the prophet Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Take me wherever, whatever you want me to do." Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the reminder this morning from the life and ministry of Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. And God, we thank you for just the clearness of this record by the Holy Spirit through Luke, that we can see actions and decisions and responses to you, but most of all, God, we can see your hand of power, and we can see your plan, and we can see your way. And God, we're encouraged that we can trust you and depend upon you. Thank you for that, Father. And Father, if there is anyone here today, we know it's up to you to work in the hearts, to bring questions to mind, to move so that there would be a seeking, an asking, a desire to know more of you. So, Father, we trust you in that. May we honor you now as we go from this place, and may we go in submission and obedience with the desire to glorify you and to declare to the world that you truly are in charge and your ways are not ours. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing.